Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. A number of for-profit colleges have been closing their doors or have closed in recent years. A couple in Charlotte. We take a closer look at these for-profit schools and whether they fulfill the promise of higher education for students. That's later in the program. First, though, Wells Fargo just released more bad news. They've revealed a calculation error that led to about 400 people losing their homes to foreclosure. This all happened between 2010 and 2015, but this is just another piece of bad news and maybe bad behavior on the part of the bank that began to trickle out beginning in 2016. Charlotte Observer banking reporter Dion Roberts is here to fill us in on the details. Welcome back yet again.
Here we go again.
So what is it this time? I know that's an important question, but it must be one that consumers and casual observers and perhaps some bank customers are asking every time another shoe drops. What exactly happened this time?
So if you remember, Mike, going back to the financial crisis and the recession, a lot of people struggled to pay their mortgages, and that was because they lost their jobs, or let's say you owned a business, maybe you lost, you know, a portion of your business, so you couldn't pay your mortgage anymore. So Wells Fargo and a lot of banks were working with borrowers at that time to modify their mortgage to make the payment lower, so your monthly payment would be less than it was previously. Wells Fargo used a computer program that it developed to figure out whether you qualified for a mortgage adjustment.
Okay.
And this gets kind of complicated, but to keep it as simple as I can, when Wells Fargo modifies your mortgage, it has to be what they consider to be affordable. That means that your monthly payment can't be any more than 31% of your gross monthly income. If your modified mortgage is more than 31% of your gross income, then it's not affordable, and Wells Fargo won't give you the modification. Now,
because you're probably going to default anyway.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's correct. And so what Wells Fargo works into that new mortgage payment is, you know, unpaid fees because you were behind on your mortgage, so there may be some late fees. Some of that stuff might be forgiven, but attorney's fees are also calculated that are related to the foreclosure. Your house went into foreclosure, which is why you're trying to get a modification.
So you're going to pay their fees.
You are going to pay Wells Fargo's attorney's fees.
Okay.
Now, if those attorney's fees, Mike, make the debt-to-income ratio I just described to you, make it too high, get you above that 31%, if the attorney's fees do that, you don't qualify. What Wells Fargo's computer program did was made those attorney's fees too high, erroneously high, inaccurately high, and people were disqualified.
And how did the computer program do that?
Human
beings programmed computers.
Well, we don't have all the specifics on what happened in the algorithm or in the way the program malfunctioned, or was it, again, just a programming error? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
I'm not in banking, and my bank account would tell you that. but this seems to me to be eighth grade math. Why do you need a computer? You can do percentages. Why do you need a computer?
Well, I mean, you know, to be honest about it, I mean, a lot of banks are using, you know, computers, and they've been using them for a long time, computer programs to figure out whether you qualify.
Yeah.
You put in the person's data, their financial data, and you know, an algorithm is run, and it says, yes, you apply, no, you do not apply. And that happens for all sorts of financial services and products. You know, it could be the volume. It could be the sheer volume of modifications Wells Fargo was doing at the time.
Because only 625, I think, were affected by this. That doesn't sound like a big volume for a bank the size of Wells Fargo.
It doesn't. But, you know, foreclosures have generational impacts. And so while 625 people were affected, think about the impacts that has on the family.
Right. I'm talking about the volume.
Yeah, you're right. It does raise a question. Why is it only 625? Yeah. It seems like a very small number.
Well, here's another question. We just found out about this. I think you just reported on it for the first time this week, right? This all happened between April 2010 and October 2015. When did the bank find out?
The bank found out about it in October 2015.
So why are we just hearing about this now?
That's a good question. And that's a question I've asked the bank. And they've basically said that they've gone back and they've just continued to review their findings and realize that, you know, they've got some customers who are harmed here. But it does raise the question. It's almost 3 years to the day that they found the error and corrected it. Why did they wait so long? Because over that three-year period, they could have provided relief to customers.
Trying to be fair to the bank here, they volunteered this information.
That's right.
They made this disclosure. They disclosed this to the Securities and Exchange Commission in July. Was it uncovered by other sources? Is that why they had to come clean, or did they just discover it? I mean, they knew it 3 years ago. So did they just decide, well, now's the time to tell the Securities and Exchange Commission? What's up with the timing here?
Yeah, I've asked about the timing, and we haven't really gotten a precise answer as to why now. Why last Friday, late in the day, did they put this in a securities filing?
It's the end of a news cycle, that's why.
Wells Fargo, to be fair to Wells Fargo, they have been more transparent about disclosing what would be in the past considered minor issues dealing with a small population of customers. I think they're really trying to be transparent these days. Okay. And to their credit, I think that's why they disclosed this.
So 625 people were affected by this calculation. 400 of those 625 had their homes foreclosed on, but an additional 225, the remainder of that number, were incorrectly denied or not offered modifications to their loans. How many banks were doing this? How many banks were being helpful? They were trying to be helpful to people who were in financial difficulty at the time.
A lot of banks, probably all of the major banks and a lot of smaller regional banks were doing modifications. If you remember, during the Obama administration, there was the HAMP program, the Home Affordable Mortgage Program. Mm-hmm. It was a federal program where banks were given billions of dollars to do modifications because people couldn't pay their mortgages. And this was an effort by the federal government to keep people in their homes. So to answer your question, multiple banks had relationships with this program and were using it.
If this were a one-off, I wouldn't ask this question, but this is another in a series of revelations and on the part of things that have gone wrong at Wells Fargo. Is there any evidence, given those previous problems, that this might have been done deliberately?
Boy, that's something that a regulator would have to say. I mean, I could not say it was done deliberately. I mean, if, you know, Wells Fargo says it was an accident.
Or people looked the other way because that was the culture of the bank at the time.
Again, I just don't know, Mike. I wasn't there.
All right. So Wells has set aside $8 million to make restitution to these customers impacted by this error. If you divide that $8 million among the 625 customers, that's $12,800 per person.
Correct.
Is that enough?
Consumer advocates say it's woefully short of what is needed to make someone whole after they lost their home.
How did they come up with $8 million?
I have asked that question, and they have told us that it is an appropriate figure. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially it's an appropriate figure based on the circumstances.
So you lose your house, and as you just said a moment ago, this has generational impact.
Correct.
It doesn't just affect you the month you lose your house and you have to go find an apartment to live in. It affects your credit rating for years to come,
yeah,
your ability to buy another house. It can pull your kids out of the schools that they're in. It can cause you to lose your job in some cases. It can cause your kids not to be as successful as they might be going forward because there's this foreclosure on their parents' record, etc. And this lasts and trickles down for years to come. Can any amount of money make up for something like that, really?
Well, you know, some sources I've spoken to have said people need $100,000 each just for the emotional turmoil that they went through. Losing a home is probably the most or one of the most financially devastating things that can happen to you. You lose friends in your neighborhood, lifelong friends. You may have to relocate your children to another school. Health issues come up out of this. I've been speaking to people all week. I have received more than 100 voicemails and emails since Friday when our story ran, our initial story. People just telling me horror stories, and they are still coping with the ripple effects of losing their home. Now, not all these people I've spoken to are part of the 625, and that's the other thing. Wells Fargo has yet to reach out to the 625 and let them know that they are getting compensation.
So they've released the information that this happened, but they haven't reached out to the people to whom it occurred.
As of yesterday afternoon when I talked to the bank.
Well, that's not all the bank is owning up to. They revealed the federal agencies are now probing how the bank bought certain federal low-income housing tax credits to finance low-income housing developments. What is that investigation about?
Well, we don't have many details on that. That was a very short disclosure that came out Friday, and I think there'll be more revealed around that in the coming months.
Does all of this investigation that they just talked about and what we've been talking about this hour, does all of this stem from the time that John Stumpf was CEO at Wells Fargo?
Yes.
He's gone. He's been gone for several years. Does it stem? Obviously, it stems from the management, the time that management team was in place. How many of them are still there?
A lot of people have lost their jobs, but there are still people in senior management who have been there for a long time. The head of community banking, which is at the center of the sales scandal, she's long gone. That's Carrie Tolstedt.
Right.
But there are still people in senior management who were there.
Charlotte is Wells Fargo's largest employment hub. I think there are 25,000-plus people that work at Wells Fargo in Charlotte. Have you been able to gauge the impact of this continuous stream of problems at Wells Fargo on the morale or on the people who work there, many of whom came from the Wachovia culture? As you know, as people know, Wells Fargo bought Wachovia at the depths of the financial crisis so it wouldn't go under. How many of those people are negatively affected by this just because of morale?
This has been brutal on morale. It's a drip of negative news and negative headlines, and the employees are just, you know, they're tired of waking up and looking at the paper and seeing, you know, these just negative stories about the company that they work for. And many of these people have worked for Wells Fargo for decades.
So you reported recently that the federal government fined Wells more than $2 billion for mortgages it made and sold to investors prior to the financial crisis. In April, you remind us that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency fined the bank $1 billion over claims of improper mortgage and auto lending practices that harmed customers. What has been the government's response to the latest revelation that 625 people lost their homes because of a problem with the software?
We've reached out to the major banking regulators and to the Justice Department, and they are not saying anything about this at all. But Wells Fargo has told us that they've alerted regulators, they're working with them on this issue. We don't know if any penalties will come out of this. So keep in mind, there's been no fine against Wells Fargo for this latest revelation.
But the $2 billion and the $1 billion, the $3 billion in fines so far, put those in perspective. For a bank the size of Wells Fargo, are these painful, or is that just a slap on the wrist?
For a bank the size of Wells Fargo, it's not that big of a deal, honestly. I mean, they make billions of dollars a year in profit and in revenue, so they can weather this.
Aside from billboards and TV advertising saying it's a new day at the bank, is it, or will there be another shoe to drop?
Well, someone joked this week that the bank said that they've been reestablished in 2018, and they may have to now say re-established in 2019.
Okay. Deon Roberts, banking reporter with the Charlotte Observer. Thanks for detailing that story. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.